Well, good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's time for the Panic Podcast, and today we're going to wrap up our series on faith as exemplified by the heroes of Hebrews chapter 11. So get your Bibles opened up to Hebrews 11 and Genesis chapter 50, because we're going to look at Joseph this morning on the Panic Podcast. Good to have you with us. Well, how are you all doing? Hope you're all doing pretty good. Our cold snap looks like it's finally come to an end here in Southwest Virginia. And we're going to get back to some more seasonable temperatures and possibly an Indian summer by the end of the week. Boy, I hope so. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22 says, "By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones." Now, what in the world does that have to do with faith? Well, on today's podcast, we're going to look at the faith of Joseph, which really was a faith for the future. You know, the future, the time after today. Now, let's read some verses in Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter of the book of Genesis. And we'll read about what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about, what he's referencing, and that's Genesis 50, verse 22 to the end of the chapter. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brother Israelites, "I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid." Now here's the faith part. "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. All right. The book of Genesis, which we are studying Mondays here on the podcast, Sundays if you come to church, opens with the story of creation, and it closes with a coffin in Egypt. We call it the book of beginnings because that's what the word Genesis means, but it's really a book of biographies. A mere two chapters are devoted to the creation of the heavens and the earth, but 48 chapters are largely concerned with the lives of men and women, showing us that God is mainly interested in people. And one of those people who gets a lot of space in the book of Genesis is this man, Joseph. Now, the text speaks of the faith of Joseph as he approached his exodus from life. And he expressed his firm belief that the day would come when the children of Israel would leave the land of Egypt and return to their homeland. And he took an oath from the sons of Israel, requiring them to dig him up and take his bones with them when they leave. The scriptures reveal that some four centuries later, Moses and the descendants of the Israelites did just that as they returned to the promised land. Now, you may wonder why Joseph wasn't taken to Canaan and buried at the time of his death. Well, that's a good point, because at this time in history, the Israelites were not slaves in the land of Egypt. In fact, they were treated very, very well in the land of Egypt, and it wasn't until much later on that the Egyptians perceived the Israelites as a threat, and gradually they became, the slave class in Egypt. But that's a good question. I mean, the children of Israel could have easily taken Joseph, made the trip into Canaan land, buried him, and then come back. The fact is, though, Joseph was a hero in the land of Egypt, and his family likely wouldn't have been permitted to remove his body from Egypt, even if they wanted to. He was one of the outstanding patriots whom the Egyptians revered. That is, of course, until they forgot all about him, at which point they turned the Israelites into a nation of slaves within the borders of Egypt. But Joseph died with the faith in the promises of God. He had the same hope that we saw in Jacob, a firm confidence that God would give the sons of Israel the land of Canaan as an eternal possession. When he died facing the future. Joseph was a man who not only had dying faith, but also a man who lived by faith. Because in order to die well, to possess dying faith, you must first of all need to live by faith. You need to possess living faith. Now, the faith of Joseph was tested during some very difficult and dangerous days. He had every right to give up and give way to despair, but he faced life with faith, and he found God to be absolutely faithful. Now let's take a look at some negative considerations about Joseph's faith. Well, I've always said, and I've said this many times in church, that I think that Joseph is one of the most truly outstanding characters in Scripture. Everybody talks about David. Yeah, David was the apple of God's eye. You're right. He had a special relationship with God. That's true. But we can easily point to David's many failings. And of course, let's be totally honest here. When David fell, he always repented sincerely, and God restored him. Such was the nature of their relationship. But Joseph was different. Can you point to any faults in Joseph's life? Well, there's three negative things that I'd like to talk about here. And I'll call them faults, but as we go through them, you'll see maybe they weren't really faults at all. Joseph's great faith, which he possessed even from a young age, didn't eliminate his human imperfections. I mean, just consider how he spoke to his brothers about some dreams that the Lord gave him. Let's take a quick, this always makes me laugh. Let's take a quick look at Genesis 37 for a second. Let's start reading at verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Yeah, they already hated him because he was the favorite of the father, you see. So he said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. He didn't get enough, the first time, so he comes back. "Listen, I had another dream, and this time the sun, moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Yes, great faith didn't cause him to have some discernment and to control his tongue. Just because a believer may have faith that can move mountains, that doesn't mean that his character will suddenly become pure and pristine. That's because all of us struggle with our human natures and our humanity. Secondly, Joseph's faith didn't give him immunity against trouble, trials, and struggles. Because Joseph, like all of us today, lived in a very imperfect world populated by imperfect and wicked people. I mean, just think about the years that Joseph spent in prison for something he didn't even do. And yet, even in prison, he maintained his faith and steadfastly trusted God. And the third point, the third negative side of Joseph's faith, is that his faith didn't enable him to understand everything that was happening to him at the moment. He experienced a lot of frustration, disappointment, and struggles with bitterness. I mean, wouldn't you, after being betrayed by his brothers in Genesis 37, and forgotten by a friend, a cupbearer in prison, Genesis 40. I mean, it's literally like everything that could go wrong to a person went wrong to Joseph. So his tremendous faith did not help him to control his tongue. And as a young person, his big mouth got him into trouble with his family. His tremendous faith didn't keep him from getting into troubles, experiencing trials, and going through struggles, not of his own making. And, of course, his great faith didn't give him the knowledge of God to understand everything that was going on in his life. Now, let's look at the positive side of Joseph's faith. First of all, Joseph trusted God when he was mistreated by his brothers. Now, he was mistreated by his brothers primarily because he was the favorite son of his father. So that's on his father. That was his father's fault. But his brothers' anger at the father was taken out on their brother, Joseph. That wasn't Joseph's fault. Now Joseph compounded the problem with his big mouth, but the fact remains it all goes back to something beyond his control. But some people simply give up on God because of mistreatment by people, like coworkers or employers or a spouse or a miserable neighbor. Like, have you ever been mistreated by your neighbor or your spouse or your parents or your children or your in-laws? How does that make you feel? You get angry. You get frustrated. You want to quit your job. You want to get out of your marriage. You want to sell your house and move. I mean, it's human nature, right? But Joseph's faith caused him to trust God. The mistreatment that he experienced never caused his faith to waver. Secondly, Joseph trusted God when he found himself serving in the role of a slave. Almost overnight, his role changed from that of a favored son to that of a slave. I mean, think about what this young man went through. He was his father's favorite son, but his brothers were so jealous of him and hated him so much that they actually plotted to kill him. But at the last minute, they decided to make a few bucks off of him by selling Joseph to some slave traders. And while he was in Egypt, working at a cushy job in a fellow by the name of Potiphar in his household, he was framed for a crime he did not commit, and he was thrown in prison with no hope of ever regaining his freedom. But never once did his faith waver. See, Joseph lived exactly what the Apostle Paul would write centuries later. Philippians 4:13, I bet you all know this verse. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Thirdly, Joseph trusted God when he was tempted with an offer of illicit sex. Genesis 39, verses 6 and 7. So Potiphar, his boss, left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he didn't concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while, Potiphar's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Well, when confronted with such an offer, Joseph's response was remarkable. Here was a young man being tempted by a gorgeous woman. There was no chance he would ever get caught. He wasn't made of stone. And yet his response shows how seriously this guy took his faith. Look at Genesis 39, 8 and 9. "But Joseph refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?'" Wow. This guy, Joseph, he maintained his integrity and kept his distance, but she kept it up day and night whenever her husband was not away. And when she got her hooks into him, she accused him of hanky-panky, which of course never happened. And without proper investigation, her husband, Potiphar, Joseph's boss, tossed him into prison. Imagine for a second going to prison for doing the right thing. Joseph refused to be a playboy. He refused to betray his master's trust. He refused to take advantage of a situation to commit sin. Fourthly, Joseph trusted God when he was falsely accused and unjustly imprisoned. Now, he could have reacted with bitter hostility, and that would have just simply created a poison in his heart. But Joseph was influenced and controlled by his faith in the presence, purpose, and power of God. And even in prison, Joseph was blessed by the Lord, and he was given a position of great responsibility. See, when you honor God, my friends, God honors you. The fact that Joseph wasn't executed probably showed that Potiphar didn't entirely believe his wife. He couldn't help knowing her true character. The truth of Romans 8:28 is on full display in this part of Joseph's life. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Because God was working behind the scenes for Joseph. He resisted temptation and tried to avoid occasions for sin. And yet despite this, his would-be seducer framed him. For the second time, Joseph found himself in prison. Under the circumstances, he should have been upset, but he wasn't under the circumstances. He was above them, and he saw God's hand in them. His time in prison was training time for reigning time. So things that were meant by others for evil turned out to be good. Fifthly, Joseph trusted God when he was confronted with inexperience and unprecedented opportunity. I should say inexperience and unprecedented opportunity. Here's what I mean by that. It's one thing to stand firm in your faith when the headwinds of life batter you and try to keep you down. But what about when the opposite happens? What happens when you appear to win life's lottery? Well, by faith, Joseph's time came, and he was brought before Pharaoh. Genesis 41:14. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he'd shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh got wind that Joseph could interpret dreams, and Pharaoh needed this Hebrew jailbird to interpret his dreams. So it was by faith that Joseph came into Pharaoh's presence, confident that God would come through for him. And he did. Just look at Genesis 41, verses 15 and 16. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Now listen to what Joseph said. "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Look at this guy. Look, I can't do it. Talk about humility and honesty. God, Joseph spoke in faith, believing that God would give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Joseph explained to the Pharaoh the dream. There'd be 7 years of abundance in Egypt, followed by 7 years of famine, which would simply devastate the land. The repetition or duplication of Pharaoh's dream, he had the same dream a couple of times, meant that it was a done deal and that God would cause it to happen soon. Now, we see this also in Joseph's two dreams concerning the future. Remember, we talked about that back in Genesis 37. And in the similar visions of Daniel chapters 2 and 7. In the Bible, 2 is the number of witness. Joseph interpreted the dream to perfection and in complete humility. He gave the credit to God. It is this humility that made it possible for the Lord to entrust him with a tremendous responsibility without fear that it would corrupt him. Look at Genesis 41, 39 to 43. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you." He's got out of prison here. You shall be in charge of my palace. Wow. "And all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." And then Pharaoh took off his signet ring and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And people shouted before him, "Make way! Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Wow, from pit to pinnacle. Joseph went from the lowest position in Egypt to the highest in a day. And he was still a young man. But Joseph trusted God in the midst of all this sudden popularity and prosperity. But Joseph conquered hostility by practicing forgiveness. Look at Genesis 45, 1 to 4. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants and cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. Remember, he'd been absent from them for years. The last his brothers knew, Joseph was long gone. And now his brothers find themselves in the presence of Joseph, and they didn't recognize him because he looked like an Egyptian. But he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Yes, brothers were scared of him because because if the positions were reversed, they would probably, do Joseph in. But Joseph returned good for evil, and by faith he was able to look back and see the ways and work of God in his life. Just read. You got to read these with your eyes. So if you're not driving, pull out your Bibles and please read Genesis 45, 5 to 8. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. And now, do not be distressed, and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. See, Joseph was, what a guy. He was able to look at the sinful thing his brothers did, selling him into slavery. And you see what Joseph said about that? He said, it wasn't you, it was God that sent me on ahead of you. Because now you see there was a famine in the land. And where his brothers, where his family was living, they were all starving to death. So Joseph looked at the situation and he discerned that God had got him into Egypt for the sole purpose of making sure that his family would survive the great famine. Joseph continues, for two years now, there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there'll be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. See, Joseph simply believed that God is. Joseph believed that God is good. And Joseph believed that God works for good to those who love him and trust him. See, God sustained Joseph in his times of disappointment, defeat, and despair. Now, what about you? God has revealed his love and power in Jesus Christ. God has sent his Spirit to work upon you and to dwell within you. God has given you some great and precious promises. With faith in God, we can face the future with joy and courage. Things don't look real great right now in America. Have you looked at your pension plan lately? Don't look at it. I went out last night and just bought a handful of groceries, almost $200. You fill up your car, it's hard to fill it up for under $80 now. It doesn't have to be this way, but it is. All around us, it seems like sin and wickedness has got the upper hand. Some of you are suffering greatly at work. You're having problems in your marriage with your family. This isn't the word of knowledge. I mean, I know a lot of people are listening to this podcast, so it just makes sense that many of you are not living perfect lives. And a lot of your problems have nothing to do with you personally. You're just being battered by the winds of sin and wickedness, and it's touching you. It's not your fault at all, just like Joseph. And maybe some of you have gotten into trouble because of things that you've done. Listen, wherever you are in life, you must believe that God is there with you. You must believe that God is good. And you must believe that regardless what appearances are, God is working for your good and for the good of those around you. But you must trust Him. Somehow you've got to just have faith in God's work and have faith that God is working in you and through you. Just as He did Joseph. Well, I think we'll call it quits. We're at 31 minutes past the hour. I hope that you enjoyed our series on faith in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11 is a fascinating chapter. And what I've tried to do over the past 5 or 6 weeks is take a look at the heroes of faith mentioned, some of them in Hebrews 11, and figure out what it was that God noticed in regard to their faith. And maybe we can get that in our lives. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening to the past 5 or 6 weeks as we've studied faith. On Friday, we're going to be taking a look at another portrait of Peter, so come on back. In the meantime, if you're in Southwest Virginia, come on out to Bible study tonight at 6 o'clock. And the rest of you have a great day today. We'll see you back here in 47 and a half hours, Lord willing. God bless you. We'll see you soon.